fill that up and put a...
Well, that knew it.
Full of powder, geez, I'd get a couple of drinks.
It was full derm. I was like parking in the field there. And previous to that time, I might have tried it out half a dozen times or maybe a dozen times for all I know. But this one time I rolled a cigarette and, man, I inhaled it. And I could inhale the smoke. So I sat right there and I rolled about a half a dozen of them. So I wouldn't forget. And then I went up the coal mine that night and I could sit in a slack tune. Inhaled cigarette.
Didn't bother you a bit, then, huh?
Didn't bother me a bit.
This is an interview of Carl Rushershaver, former coal miner from Auburn, Michigan. Present at this interview is, besides Mr. Rushershaver, is his charming wife, Mrs. Rushershaver. She's a very healthy-looking 71 years old. Also present at this interview is my father, Fred McAllister, who was raised up in this area with Mr. Rushershaver and also worked the coal mines. Now, Mr. Rushershaver, I'll give you a little brief on what questions I was going to ask. And the first one, of course, is how you got arrived at this area to begin with. And you say your mother and father met here and were married. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, and what made you decide to go into coal mining?
Well, there was no other work to speak of that I knew of. And first, I'd sit in the front room and I'd watch the train come up. And they'd have carloads of props on that train. And of course, I'd go up to the coal mine and they give me the job of unloading those carloads of props and plank and so on like that.
How old were you at that time?
I had to unload that carload in a day. They'd spot the car today and it had to be unloaded by tomorrow. Well, I'd done that for a couple of winters and then finally during the war I started working in the coal yard at number five, and we sold four carloads of coal there a day. We take in about $2,000 worth of coal, or sell about $2,000 worth of coal. When I'd open the office in the morning, before I'd build a fire, I'd weigh in between 75 and 100 teams before I'd build a fire, and they'd go on and start loading their coal and that, and they come from different places around the country, from Mount Pleasant and from Gladwin and Bay City and Saginaw and all over the country, and they couldn't get cars during the war to transport the coal. It was all used for the war, the cars were.
How old were you when you first started unloading these things?
Unloading these props?
Right. How old were you?
I was probably about 16.
About 16?
Yeah.
Then when you started in the mine, you were about 18?
Well, yeah. Around the coal mine there, unloading props and that, and then eventually I got in the coal yard and I worked there for a couple of 3 years, I think. And then they moved the coal yard from number five over to Black Diamond. The tipple had burnt down and they rebuilt the tipple there and they put a chute from the tipple where they could load trucks and that right at the tipple. They didn't have to load them in cars anymore. Well, I got a chance to go down below, and it was more money. I think there was, I got $3.50 for working in the coal yard, and I paid $5 for working down below.
Right.
Well,
was your father a coal miner?
No.
He wasn't. He was a farmer.
Yeah.
But he worked around the coal.
He worked around the coal mine.
Did they use horses or mules?
Well, in the coal mine they used mules, but my dad used horses to haul sand and haul cinders and
you used to haul in there
just about any dang thing that was to be done.
So in other words,
pull it out and then they'd let it back them up real slow and let them down the shaft.
In other words, you got the job because there was no other jobs available.
Well, I didn't think so.
You thought that was...
It was right close.
You were pretty confined to this one particular area.
Yeah, people worked at the chemical plant.
Yeah,
and they didn't pay nothing. And it was, they looked like freaks when you see them.
Nobody wanted to go to Dow's.
Some was all yellow, and it was almost like Easter eggs, or hair, and skin, and everything. I guess they didn't have any safety things up there at that time or something.
And it went right over our head.
So I didn't want no job like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know of any other jobs. You could have worked on a section, a railroad section.
Railroad section. Had the lumbering business, the lumbering boom.
Oh yeah,
that was
gone. A thing of the past at that time.
Oh yeah.
And so I went, I got a job cleaning roads first in the coal mine, and I had to load 6 cars of dirt and then pick up a load of coal that dropped off of the cars along the track. Well, they give me an old mule that wasn't too good, I didn't think. So I used that for two or three nights, and then I was there when the day shift come off, and I seen a pretty nice mule that I thought would do a much better job. So I took that mule that night, and I get back in the coal mine there, and back in this old workings, there was a pump further inside and a discharge there, but I didn't know that.
Uh-huh.
And I was new in a coal mine, and it acted just like something was snoring, just snoring, and then acted like it sore up, only real loud. Well, it kind of...
I thought it was a monster or something.
Kind of made me nervous. But I got my car loaded, and I told the mule to go, and he started kicking. And then he kicked the harness off, and turned end for end, and he pulled the harness off over his head. And I was scared to go back to him.
Which one was that, old Liz?
Huh?
One of them old horse and mule.
And I had to wait. I waited till a night pumper come out, and the 3 o'clock pumper come out.
What did they call the man who handled the mules?
Well, there was...
Who lined them up to take them into the mines.
Well, they used to have a barn boss that would go down early in the morning.
Feed them.
And he'd feed them and water them and put the harness on them. And then when the drivers had come down at 8 o'clock, well, they'd just take their mule and go on inside. Well, then this old fellow would clean the barns, and then he'd go home about 9 o'clock.
I see.
And then he'd come back again in the afternoon, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and come down, and he'd put hay in their mangers, and their oats in their mangers, and so on like that, and then when they brought the mules in, I don't know whether the driver took the harness off or whether he took the harness off, but he had to patch these harnesses too. And then he'd take a hose, and they had a stall where they put them in, and he'd hose them all off with the hose. And if any of them needed shoes,
the
blacksmith had come down from on top.
Well, who took them up back and forth out of the mines?
Well, they left them down in the mine.
They left them down, but I mean, when you got your car loaded, they took the car up to the top, right?
Oh, yeah.
With a mule?
Yeah.
No.
They had a cage. They rolled these cars on a cage, and then that went up. That's like your elevators and the buildings and that.
What powered that? Was it steam that powered
steam
it?
Steam engine.
Steam engine?
Hoisting engine.
Who controlled the cage? Was it a...
Your cagers.
Engineer? Who was called a cager?
The cager would give the engineer the signals to heist it up or bring it back down, or there was people up in the temple too, and when that cage go up in the temple, they had guides in the shaft that tipped that bottom part of that cage, and there was they called it a gooseneck. It'd catch the end of the car that had the end gate on it, and it'd raise that end gate up, and this when the cage would tip, it'd dump that coal into the chute where they weighed it. So each man got his weight for his own carload of coal. And each digger had checks. That they'd hang on these cars, so when they go up in the tipple, they know whose car it was. They'd take that check off and put it on the board. And
how many mines were there in this area during the war, during the First World War?
Where's the drinking
water? Well, I mean, you know, right around here that you worked in, right in the...
Well, I would say there probably 5 or 6.
And what were the names of the ones that you worked in this area right here?
Well, I only worked in the Black Diamond, and Wolverine number 2, and Beaver Coal Mine. That's over where the gun club was.
I see.
That's a golf course there now. And,
Is that White Birch Golf Course?
Pardon?
Is that the White Birch Golf Course you're talking about?
No. No, this is that new one on the west side, Saginaw Road.
By Bay Valley. Bay Valley Inn?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I see. And who was in charge of the mines at that time? Were they by a certain company?
The Coriels.
Coriels?
Was in charge of some of the coal mines. And, Andy Brothers.
Were they from the Bay City area?
They had a coal mine too down here where that water tower is. There was a coal mine right there.
4 Mile Road?
Huh?
Is that down by 4 Mile Road? The water tower you're talking
about? Yeah, it's in between the 5 and 4 Mile Road.
How many men, usually how many men worked in the mine during a day?
I couldn't say exactly. I would say probably some of them maybe 150, maybe went as high as 300, I don't know.
Do you remember how deep the shafts were?
Well, they run, the Beaver Coal Mine was 90 foot, and the Midland Mine was 300 1/4.
Well, that was a real deep one.
Yeah, but the most of the coal mines around here was around 140 foot.
That was about the average, about 140.
Yeah, variation, some probably 150, maybe some not quite that deep.
What would you say, maybe 150 to 200 men worked in the mine?
Yeah.
At that time?
Yeah.
Did you work just during the day, or did you work at night too?
Well, the mine itself never run over 8 hours, but of course there's some guys had to work nights. I worked nights out at Unionville, developing territory. I run the haulage motor, and Joe Cole run the machine.
What's a haulage motor?
Well, that electric locomotive, well, it'd be just like your railroad here. The haulage motor would be the same as the engine on the railroad.
Oh, and you pulled the cars up from the mine? The loaded cars?
You get a trip of cars, and then you take them out to the bottom and go around the shaft and get another bunch of empties and take back into those diggers there.
The bottom, when you refer to the bottom of the mine, is that the foot of the shaft?
Yeah, yeah.
And the diggers, of course, are the men who dig out the coal in the veins, right? How many veins did they usually have in these mines around here?
How many what?
How many veins of coal did they usually have?
Well, just one. Most of them just had one vein.
And what type of material enclosed the vein? What type of, was it rock, shale, or clay?
Well, there'd be rock above it.
Rock above it.
Rock above it, and there'd be rock below, too. I guess they call it rock, most of it's rock.
No, how was the veins dug out? How did you get the coal out of the rock?
Well, from when I could remember first, they used a punching machine.
Was that electric or?
No, air.
Air.
And they had a pair of handles on them like that. And they had different size wheels for them. Well, I see different sizes. All I know is two sets of wheels. They had a point on the end of it, and it'd be just like an air hammer.
Uh-huh.
And they'd go in this corner here, and they'd punch out that corner there, back in. Oh, I don't know how far back they'd go in. And then maybe across the bottom, maybe they'd punch across the bottom, and your rooms would be 50 foot wide.
Oh, yeah, where you worked, where you
yeah.
stuck.
And then they'd go in 150 feet. And then there'd be another entry there, and they'd work back this way. So the two rooms would come together. The two entries would be 300 feet apart.
Oh, yeah. Were there any natural shafts, any natural shafts, referring to,
yeah.
Were there any natural openings in the ground that were
I don't think so.
The shafts?
No.
There weren't any natural openings.
No.
My father used to talk about underground
friend?
Openings.
Do you live all alone?
In the coal mines that were there. That were made maybe through a process of water running through the
land. Well, what do you do about
land or
something
like
cook
that?
For your ass?
Now, when you told me before that you used dynamite to loosen the shale or the rock in the coal.
Yeah.
What was that man called? The man that set the dynamite.
Well, each man done his own shooting.
That's what they.
When it had come quitting time, why everybody knew when quitting time come, and then they'd set their fuses afire and he'd walk out.
Got killed in the service.
You walked. You didn't run out.
Wasn't
you afraid to go up behind you or something? If you didn't
you
had to move out pretty fast, didn't you?
Yeah.
Now, what was it? What type of dynamite was it? Do you remember? What they used to?
Hercules, I think.
Hercules? Was it black powder dynamite?
No, this is. I see glycerine. I wouldn't know it. It was brown. You opened the case up and it was brown, and it's just like powdered sawdust or something, were kind of sticky.
He's cute.
And they'd have to use a cap, a firing cap, to set off that dynamite. But with the black powder, they just drilled holes in the coal. like I see, the punching machine cut the corners out and then cut across the bottom.
I wouldn't live any place.
Well, the digger, he'd go to work and he'd drill the holes. Next to the top, maybe 2-3 holes. Maybe drill them in there 4 or 5 feet.
Well,
then they'd go to work and make these dummies, like I was telling you about, out of magazines. Well, that was sort of a case, a casing. Well, they'd take their powder and their powder can, and they would come in little cans like that, and about that big round. They'd punch a hole in the corner of that, and that stuff would pour out of there in that dummy. And then they'd shove that back in there. And then they'd make three, four more. They put a fuse in it first, and then have three or four more made up without powder, and they tamp that knot hole. And then when they light it off, why?
That was at quitting time.
Yeah, that powdered, I guess it'd burn or something. They explode anyway and shoot the coal down. That was a slower acting charge than the dynamite.
You had more time to get out, in other words.
It seemed to work on the coal not so severe, so you had a lot of lump coal. They didn't want a lot of
fine pieces. It was easier to get the chunks, right?
No,
you could load it up quicker with the bigger chunks.
Well, the company didn't.
He died a week after.
Didn't want that fine stuff too much anyway.
Oh, yeah.
They wanted all nice
smooth
coal.
Was there ever anybody hurt?
Oh, yeah.
When they were dynamiting, I mean.
A lot of them get in there, they're half.
I wouldn't say a lot of them, but one fellow in particular that I know of. And he was a pumper. He was pumping nice.
None of it cheap.
And in between.
What did the pumper do? What was he? Did he pump the ladder out?
You had places in a coal mine. Or there'd be water coming out of the roof. Some places there'd be little streams. Some places just drippers. Well, they'd have to run pipe in there to keep that water pumped out so the digger could work. And this pumper would go around. If that was dry there. What I mean, pumped out, he'd shut the valve off. So if one went on air, it wouldn't suck water from the other ones neither.
Oh, yeah.
So they'd have to go around and check.
6 years from
when the water would be pumped out, shut the valve off. Well, anyway.
That worked with it on air, you see?
No, that was
electrical.
Most of them was electric.
Yeah.
Electrical or maybe steam.
In later years. In my later years, the coal mine was electric. Before that, I guess they used air. I don't know. Maybe steam.
Okay, and when I interrupted, you started to tell me about this man who got hurt.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to say, in these entries, they had to get the air. They had to force air in there so the man would have oxygen to work with. Well, in between these entries, they'd put a trap door. And then when they dried those entries in there, I don't know how far they'd go. Say probably 150, maybe. I don't know now, just how far. They'd have to make a little breakthrough from one entry to the other. Well, the air would go in this entry and come through that hole, because there's a trap door out here, and come through that hole, then back out this entry. Well, that would force the dead air out from those places and fresh air in. And
you feed them too darn good.
This fellow, the diggers, in that breakthrough, they'd always have their tools in there, and they'd have their powder in there, and their carbide for their light, and their dynamite, and their caps.
How was your light powered back in the early days? The light that you carried on your
hand? Well, in the early days, they had a light just like an old coffee pot. And it had a wick in there. And then they used lard oil. It was thick. It had tore. But you'd have a little half gallon.
I'm looking for them
bat deals,
you know.
Oh, yeah.
Little half gallon can. And you'd go to the office in the morning and if you needed it, and they'd pump your little can full of lard oil, and then they'd there's a cap on the top of your little lamp, little lid with on a hinge. You'd open that up and pour that full of lard oil. Well, here you'd have a great big blaze going over the top of your head here, and smoke, everything else. But later on, then they used the carbide lights. And because you put carbide in the bottom and water in the top, and then a little valve on the top, you could adjust it so it would just drip or whatever you want. And that's what they used to see with. So
he's got a good job. He's a electrician.
Don't shut up.
No, I can't do that. He's too big for me.
Now, you say it was smoky from your wick on your the light that you used to see your way.
Yeah.
Was there also an awful lot of coal dust in there?
A lot of what?
Was there was it awful dusty from the coal itself?
Well, I wouldn't say it was dusty down there.
Well, you can't see it, Carl.
Did you carry anything over your mouth?
No,
Carry anything over your mouth?
No.
I suppose a lot of guys shoot tobacco to keep the taste out of their mouth.
Yeah, I guess so.
You also told me that you had what they call a black lung.
Yes. I didn't know I had it, but they say it's black lung.
It's caused from the coal dust, apparently. That's
well, I'll tell you what really happened, and I and my brother both was working in the Black Diamond coal mine over here, and we was trip riding. That'd be just like a brakeman on a railroad.
That's Fred.
And we was trip riding. And there was haulage motor. They didn't gather coal. The mules gathered the coal and put it on the sidetrack there. And we take a string of empties in there and put them on the sidetrack and then hook on to loads and take them out. Well, my brother was trip riding on one haulage motor and I was trip riding on the other. Well, we had one hill there that he just had an awful time making that hill because the bottom was soft. It wasn't good hard bottom, and after you'd go over it for a week or two, why, it'd soften up from a little water just like putty almost, and the track would go down in that water, and that'd get on top of the rail, and you had to use an awful lot of sand in order to get the trip out. Well, the wheel's spinning on that motor, and when you get that sand, it'd powder that sand and just shoot it out in the back, and that'd be just a float in the air. And by the time we come along, we was back 35 cars. By the time we come along, that sand dust would be so thick that there was a light, a bulb about like high as the ceiling there, and you couldn't see that bulb. You knew there was a light there, but you couldn't see it at all.
So you think that...
Well, here you were breathing that powdered sand dust into your lungs.
Fred.
How many years did you work in the sand?
Yeah, mine's still mucky up there.
In this sand?
Yeah.
Well, I only worked there.
I believe
about 3 years. And I worked there till it was done.
And you said you worked in the mines for 22 years?
Yeah.
For 22.
That is different coal mines around.
All right. So you figure it was the sand that bothered your lungs rather than the coal dust?
Rightfully, the old fellows that worked in a coal mine, and they'd tell us, man, oh man, I...